Our first guests today are Gila monsters, not Gila monsters, those are lizards. We'll talk to the human beings who just won California's Gila Prize for the second time. Gila is the Governor's Environmental and Economic Leadership Award, Gila, something that started when Arnold Schwarzenegger was governor, and Pray the Ranch just took its second Gila for its environmental and economic practices. Mary Rickert and Jim Rickert are the owners of Pray the Ranch. Mary, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here today.
And Jim, good to have you here as well.
Yes, good morning.
So I read some of the history here. The original Pray the Ranch goes way back. One of you want to tell us about that?
Yes, it was one of the original ranches settled in the eastern Siskiyou County. At one time, it was the really the only population in Butte Valley, the only population center was there, and it clustered around a kind of a ranch enterprise that included a lumber mill and the community post office, and it was a little bit of a company town back in the 1870s and 1880s.
And this is near McDowell, which is kind of halfway between Weed and Klamath Falls?
Correct.
Okay. Wow. But then, so things have changed a bit over time, and so how many different places is the ranch scattered around now? Is it one contiguous ranch? Like five counties, I hear.
Yeah. Mary?
Yes, well, we do operate in five different counties, Siskiyou, Shasta, Tehama, Glenn County, and Colusa County. And the cattle primarily in the summertime are up in the mountain, the higher elevations. And then in the wintertime, they're trucked in. We have a closed herd, so we use our own truck. And they're trucked to the northern Sacramento Valley areas. And they're out on rangeland this time of year.
And I understand, Mary, there are actually two different herds of cattle you run?
Well, what it is this particular cattle herd is run and raised. These cattle are raised for primarily, we're providers for raw material for biomedical devices. So you might encounter someone someplace that has a cow bone that was inserted in their shoulder or whatever that came from Pray the Ranch. Originally, we got into the business years ago when collagen was all the rage, when the actresses were using it to puff up their lips. And then, of course, subsequently, there was another product that came on the market that more or less has replaced most of that market. But we do sell various parts of the animal. So as a result, we have to have a backup herd. So in case there was ever any kind of an issue with one or other herd, we still continue to have a source.
So some of it is sold for beef, though, right, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Our beef product is, I remember when we first, we have a USDA federally inspected slaughterhouse on the ranch, and I remember turning to Jim in 1995. I said, okay, now we're going to have to figure out how we're going to develop the best branded beef product we possibly can. And so that's been a big emphasis for us also. And we have a large following, primarily in the San Francisco Bay Area, and we sell at an outlet at the Ferry Building called Pray the Ranch Meat Company.
I noticed that, yeah. When I went looking for Pray the Ranch, it's like, wait a minute, I thought it was up here somewhere, and I've seen it's at the Ferry Building in San Francisco, so it gets a little confusing when you're first looking.
Right.
Now,
right.
I understand...
It is a little confusing.
Okay. I understand that there's some ownership connection over the years with the Ralph's family of Ralph's Supermarkets, the California juggernaut.
Yes. Walter Ralphs, who was the past president of Ralphs Supermarkets, bought the original Pray the Ranch in Siskiyou County in 1964. And actually, the Pray the name goes back to a family that acquired it in the 1880s. And Walter decided that it was known by that, and it's kind of the historical name, and that he decided to continue using that name to date. Walt was... really an interesting guy. Mary and I worked with him since 1979, and he passed away in 2010. But he lived in Beverly Hills and was really, really, really an interesting guy. Just ahead of his time, really encouraged us on all these trying to raise the animals as healthily as and all of our natural production practices and that sort of thing was something that he really championed with us.
Jim and Mary Rickard are the owners of Prather Ranch, which just won the Gila Award, the Governor's Environmental and Economic Leadership Award, for the second time in California. Questions and comments, welcome at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So 1979, when you guys got into the business then, I mean, how different were the conditions then in terms of trying to do anything organic with your herd? Mary?
Well, I would say that it was very much a conventional cattle operation in terms of, you know, they were just commercially raised cows, nothing special about them. But Jim and I always had a real passion for cattle ranching and farming, and we do some farming on the ranch also. And in 1990, like I say, we really more or less started following a lot of the protocols that we had to for the biomedical part of the business. And then in the late 90s, we became certified organic, and we remained certified organic. We were probably one of the very first certified organic beef herds in the Western United States. And then about 6 or 8 years ago, the national standards changed in terms of what was required for organic beef production. And they required that cattle be allowed to be on pasture 12 months out of the year. Well, for our cattle, when they're at a 4,400-foot elevation in the wintertime, you could sometimes have snow on the ground for 2 or 3 months at a time, which kind of prohibits the possibility of grazing for cattle. So it was impossible for us to continue raising them as organic. And so we transitioned to a natural product. So all of the rangeland that the cattle graze on is certified organic land. So to this day, we still certify the rangeland. It's just that they might get we feed barley and a rice bran ration with chopped hay as we finish them the last 2 or 3 months of their life. And basically, there might have been a fertilizer used at one time or another. We don't use growth hormones, and we don't feed antibiotics, and that's always been a part of our program.
Really, no antibiotics at all?
Well, if you have, we're also certified humane, which mm-hmm. is another level of management practices. But so if there is a sick animal, it's not right to let them suffer, say if they had pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
But because we very rarely have many health issues because of our closed herd, we don't allow other animals into the herd, and so we're secluded, and then we really monitor their health conditions and their body condition score and make sure that they're always healthy at all times and that there's as little stress as possible so that it doesn't trigger a health issue.
All right, so if they need antibiotics, though, I think is what I hear you saying, that they'll get them.
That's right, and so on rare occasions, if there is a cow scratches herself on a fence or something and she has an infection in her foot, well, we can treat that. We're not prohibited, but it's in very rare instances that we have to use antibiotics.
Okay, we've got a call for you. Let's go to Mark in Reading. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Mary and Jim Rickard from Prather Ranch.
I think my question may have been answered, but I'll ask it anyway. I know that your beef is grass-fed, but I'm wondering if it's grain-finished, and if it is grain-finished, what are the reasons for that?
Okay, good question. Thanks for that, Mark.
Jim, I'll let you answer.
Yeah, you know, basically, we do finish the animals with a mixture of barley, rice bran, and hay. And what that really does for us is helps us have a consistent product year-round. The grass-fed animals are good when the grass is maturing and it's in really good condition a couple times a year, usually once in the spring, late spring in the Mediterranean climates in the low elevation, and once again in the fall. But we've tried to build a beef production system that includes running a processing plant around year-round, which provides employment year-round, and also consumers like to buy their product year-round. So to keep our quality consistent, we will finish them on this mixture for the last, anywhere from 3 months to 4 months is the finishing period.
I was reading recently that strictly grass-fed beef takes about a year longer to get to market than grain-fed beef. Is that pretty close to the experience you guys have had?
Yes, it takes us longer. Part of it has been taking us a little longer, and it's actually quite difficult to have a closed herd where we don't buy a lot of cattle, where you have to raise them all. So we calve twice a year, and then we try to we process beef every Tuesday. So we're slaughtering once a week and calving twice a year. So some animals have to be pushed to go get into the system earlier, and some have to be held back a little bit to make it all balance out. It's really quite a juggling act. But it does take more time, and then in the midst of all this, we're dealing with the worst drought that I've seen in my lifetime.
I was going to ask you about that. What kind of changes the drought has forced upon you? Because certainly, all the places you're talking about running your cattle from Colusa County on north have been dry.
Yes, it's been a real project. We've tried. We've had originally when we. When the drought started, we had some extra pasture land, and we had some friends that we would lease pasture to. Unfortunately, we had to use all of the pasture land up, and they weren't able to graze on our land anymore. We used to also grow quite a little bit of our own grain on dry land in Colusa County, and that turned out to be, first, we couldn't hardly get a crop, and secondly, we could use the land for more pasture. So we've kind of eked by doing that in Siskiyou County. Fortunately, our land is irrigated. We're irrigated primarily from deep wells. So it's been pretty reliable there. And in Fall River Valley, we have pretty good water sources out of Fall River. Some of our other pasture conditions, though, we were off by carrying capacity by 50%. So, you end up going through doing all the same activities, but you only got about half the output. And the animals were smaller because of it. The cows didn't milk as well, so the babies, the calves weren't as big. And it was just these recent rains, I hope they continue, have been a real blessing. It's beginning to feel like we might be getting close to normal again.
Yeah, that's a good feeling to feel like we're getting there. Jim Rickert and Mary Rickert, the owners of Prather Ranch, which just won a second time around the Governor's Environmental and Economic Leadership Award, GILA, in California. If you want to visit, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Had you done things over the years, though, Jim, to reduce water use? I know you've taken a bunch of steps, it seems like, to reduce energy consumption, too.
Yes, we've worked pretty hard at this on our irrigated farmland. We've done a lot of laser leveling where you very precisely level it for flood irrigation, taken out open ditches and put in underground big PVC pipes. A lot of that we've been able to, reduce our water usage by 30 to 50%. And then on our haylands, most of those were converted to center pivot irrigation, and then we used low pressure drops. So you get the sprinkler nozzle down pretty close to the crop, and you get a lot less evaporation, and you can be very precise on how much water you apply. So with doing all these things, we've really been able to reduce the amount of irrigation water that we've used and also been able to, in most cases, increase output.
Is it fairly expensive, though, at least up front, to keep as widespread a ranch operation as you've got in good environmental trim?
Absolutely. You have to keep working at it all the time. I mean, I have a little discussion with the people that work with us all the time. Is when you're out there doing your normal course of business every day, at least do something that's extra. And whether it's picking up a beer can on the side of the road, or repairing a broken wire, or picking up a piece of baling twine that got left in the field after they fed the cows, and just to try to develop a culture of working at this every time you're out there.
So, Mary, what were some of the keys that led to this awarding of a second GILA to Prather Ranch?
Well, we had, received the award in 2004, and subsequently we've kind of included a lot of new practices, and so we were contacted to reapply. And one of the things we've done is we now have a couple of solar arrays in our slaughterhouse. Our slaughter facility is powered by solar power, which is probably a pretty unusual kind of an operation. You don't find too many USDA federally inspected plants that are solar powered. We've done a lot of community outreach. We're very involved in our communities. We have a small Ralph Prather Ranch Foundation. That was always very important to Mr. Ralph, and Jim and I are carrying on that tradition to be very involved in community activities. Every year I have a 4-H cleanup day in the little town of McDole, and we provide dumpsters for the community to be able to dispose of their solid waste and kind of encourage young people. I take the kids around with garbage bags, and we march around town picking up garbage and try and instill in young people the importance of being good stewards of the land.
So it's not that you get nominated. You get recognized kind of up front and then offered to apply for a gala?
Well, they just contacted us to reapply is what they did, mm-hmm. Yes, because we'd kind of implemented a lot of new practices, and they had an enhanced award. It's a little confusing, but then they decided to discontinue that. But it's basically they like to, if you continue to improve your operation and increase you know, these practices and make them make yourself, you know, that much more of a good example to set for others, then they encourage you to consider applying. So we did, and we were surprised we got it a second time.
Just in terms of current tech, is there much more you could be doing that you just simply haven't been able to afford or haven't gotten around to yet? Or
well,
you pretty much state of the art?
Yeah. Jim and I could go on and on about what we are not able to afford. We really would like to increase the size of the herd, and that's going to be a little challenging because we're a closed herd. We have a tremendous demand for our meat. If you were to order locally from directly from the plant, and we allocate one beef a week for local people, and we sell at a relatively reasonable price, but it's about a 9-month waiting list right now, and
wow.
We don't advertise. Because we just don't have enough product. So I would say that is one area that we could certainly expand the operation and increase our output, but it's just we're so limited in what we can provide for our customers.
So if you've been at this for getting on 37 years now, how much longer might you guys be involved in the operation?
As long as we possibly can. We really love the people that work with us, and we love the land, and Jim and I are always trying to look for the next new idea. Right now we're kind of researching carbon sequestration in the soil, not in trees, but in the soil underneath the ground. And so there's always a new project. We do bird surveys with NRCS. Anytime there's kind of a research project, we'd love to work with universities, anything to improve the, you know, help improve the industry and improve the environment set a good example so people will think twice about, well, that practice might work on my operation.
Well, it's quite an inspiration you do put out there. So it sounds like a well-deserved Gila Award for Prather Ranch. Mary Rickert and Jim Rickert are the owners. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, thank you for inviting us.
It's been a pleasure.